going on, guys? Welcome to episode 45 of NBA Unwrapped. This is Perry Aston, joined by Corbin Weinerman and Christian McGowan. What's going on, guys?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, guys. Excited for a fun All-Star weekend coming up.
We got a lot to talk about. Before we do, wanted to remind you guys to follow us on Twitter at NBA Unwrapped. You can follow me on Twitter at Perry Aston. Follow Corbin on Twitter at Corbin Unwrapped. You can follow Christian on Twitter at McGowan75. Make sure to listen to our podcast on podcast.com or the Apple Podcast app. You can also listen to us on the Pulse Podcast Network. You can find them at PulsePodcastNetwork.com or the app that you can download. Pulse Podcast Network, the app that has about 52 podcasts now. It's growing. And we have a message from a new sponsor that we have teamed up with as a network. It's a ticketing company called Tix Blitz. It's got tickets for all types of events. Quick message from them before we get started.
Have you been searching for the best ticket deals around? Well, look no further. With Tix Blitz, the price you see is the price you pay. And TixFlix just happens to have over $6 billion in ticket inventory just waiting for you. They absolutely mean it when they say every ticket, every venue, everywhere. And you can save even more with promo code PULSE in all caps to save you 5% off your total purchase. Just go to TixFlix.com and click the search bar. Search events based on your geographic location. Pick the show you want, and bam, it's showtime. Sporting events, Broadway shows, concerts, and more with TixFlix.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the email newsletter so you can stay up to date on the latest news and savings with TixFlix. That's TixFlix.com. TixFlix.com. Every ticket, every venue, everywhere.
All right, thanks TixFlix for that message. Let's get right into the NBA news. Pelicans, more dramas coming along with the Anthony Davis stuff. We've talked about it for I don't know how many weeks in a row now, but now a new wrinkle into it. So last night, Anthony Davis, last night of the NBA games going on before the All-Star break, Anthony Davis and the Pelicans were playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. Anthony Davis ended up hurting his shoulder right before the end of the first half, and he went into the training room, got evaluated. He was out for the rest of the game. He ends up leaving the game while the game is still going on, and his team is ahead. And he ends up leaving with his agent, Rich Paul, who's also been in the news. And if you have been living under a rock, he is LeBron James' agent as well. The agent that went public with Anthony Davis' trade request. So that happened last night. We're recording on Friday night, so it happened Thursday night. This morning, Dell Demps, the general manager, former general manager now of the Pelicans, was fired. Let's get into that. So really quickly, before I ask you guys what your opinions are, there are two candidates that have emerged as the somewhat favorites to land the full-time job this summer. Right now, the interim GM is Danny Ferry, who is a good general manager in his own right. He was the GM for the Cleveland Cavaliers during LeBron James's first stint in Cleveland. After that, he went on to be the GM of the Hawks, and he had some issues surrounding how he handled talking about Luol Deng to his front office. But aside from that, he's been a good general manager. He helped get the Hawks to the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. I believe it was in, 2013, 2012, 2014. One of those years. Took them from an okay team to number one seed without having them bottom out and get any good draft picks. He knows what he's doing. But still, the favorites coming into the offseason are supposed to be two guys. David Griffin, who is the former GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was the GM from 2014 to 2017, right after the Cavaliers won their only championship with LeBron James. Right. Cavaliers ended up not renewing his contract. And the other one is Celtics assistant GM Mike Zarin. I think this is really interesting if it ends up coming down to these two GMs for the job, because the entire history of the NBA going forward and what's going to happen really could sway on which one of these two candidates becomes the GM. If Mike Zarin becomes the GM for the Pelicans, as an assistant GM for the Celtics, you would think that if the offers were even somewhat close between the Celtics and the Lakers, he's going to throw his former team a bone. Thank you for all you've done in helping me to land this job. Here you go. Here's Anthony Davis. Last time there was a big name that was up in the trade rumor mill and there were Celtics ties to it was Kevin Garnett. Kevin McHale was the GM of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He ended up trading Kevin Garnett to the Celtics for a package of Al Jefferson, Sebastian Telfair, Gerald Green, and I believe one or two first-round picks. At the same point, the Lakers were offering Andrew Bynum in a trade. So, gives you an idea of what it could be if Mike Zarin becomes the head GM. On the other end, if David Griffin becomes the GM for the Pelicans, David Griffin and LeBron James have a great relationship between the two of them. On top of that, David Griffin has made it clear through different podcasts and different TV shows that he's been on, he's not hiding the fact that he's a huge Brandon Ingram fan. So that would obviously help the Lakers even more. And we know it's going to come down to either the Celtics or the Lakers, most likely this summer. Perry, I'll start with you. Just what are your overall thoughts on the timing of the firing of Dell Demps as GM? What do you make of the whole David Griffin versus Mike Zarin for head GM going forward? Do you think Danny Ferry might have a chance to turn interim GM tag into a full-time gig?
For me, I'm going to start with Dell Demps himself. I was pretty adamant the last two podcasts, however long we've been talking about Anthony Davis. This was a job-threatening move. The fact that there was no move. I said that Dell Demps just put his job on the line, not just for the Lakers offer, but not sending him elsewhere in general. Any team, any offer, didn't matter. As long as you got back some prospects, you moved a guy that wasn't happy there, clearly scheming with Rich Paul like you are hinting at, and like it's pretty damn obvious. So I think the fact that he couldn't pull the trigger on the Lakers or whatever teams were offering, the Knicks, the Bucks, anyone that could have gotten a decent haul, that's disappointing from a organizational standpoint. And for a team that's been okay for how long now and has no success in the playoffs, and especially lately with Chris Paul and with Anthony Davis over the last, 15 years between, I think it's 8 years with Chris Paul and 7 years with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and it was pretty much back to back. Right after they traded Chris Paul, the next year they got Anthony Davis.
Exactly. So now you see how long they've had what you can call a star there, and no success past occasional playoffs.
Well, they beat the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, they got, the furthest they got with Chris Paul was they got to a game 7 with the San Antonio Spurs in the 08 playoffs in the second round, and then this past year with Anthony Davis, second round got swept by the Golden State Warriors.
So you can't get past the second round. At this point, you need to make a move, because just having one guy there and surrounding him with okay talent hasn't been the formula for success. And you can blame that on the coaching staff or front office, whoever you want to put the blame on. They're not the ones putting the ball in the hoop. You got to surround a star like that and a guy that could be a generational talent. We still haven't seen it all yet. He's 25. I can't say he's capped out. This is the Anthony Davis we're going to see for the rest of our career. If you consider him a center, I think he's the best center in the league. Consider him a power forward, he's probably still the best power forward in the league. And if you guys don't remember, he was a point guard throughout high school and hit this massive growth spurt. I think it was his junior year or something like that.
He was like 6 feet.
So he's got handles. He has court vision. He's a natural born point guard. He was reaching out to recruiters as a point guard because he was still a great player. He was still able to get recruited before he became however tall he is, 7 foot, 6'10", whatever, this massive unibrowed man. But let's talk Dell Demps. This is your fault. You didn't pull the trigger. You couldn't pull in a haul. And now you don't know what's going to be there in the summer. You knew what was there. It was there. It was a reality. Multiple offers that all sounded good.
And it was, it was a good offer.
Yeah, too. And I didn't hear too many other offers leaked than just the Lakers offers over and over
again. Which, again, might have been them trying to get back at the Lakers, but I think that blew up in Dell Demps' face as well.
I promise you the Bucks put in an offer. I know the Knicks put in an offer for Kristaps Porzingis before making that trade, so this was before the whole trade deadline countdown. We were all just waiting for it, chewing our fingernails. When they shipped off Kristaps, they definitely tried to put him in that trade for Anthony Davis. I think regardless, send Kristaps, Timmy Hardaway Jr., and Tilkina, I'm calling that a day, more than just keeping Anthony Davis hostage, having him possibly walk for nothing if he somehow stays there past this summer, or you get back a whatever haul because the market's just not there for some reason. Because like we're saying, this is all hypothetical now when it was a reality a week or two ago.
Yeah, supposedly the Pelicans weren't interested in the Davis for Porzingis swap, and that makes sense because Porzingis was going to be a restricted free agent this offseason. He would have to stay with the Pelicans if he were traded there for one more year if he signed a qualifying offer, but he could leave the next offseason just like Anthony Davis can, assuming he opts out, which he most definitely will. So it didn't make sense to do that because Kristaps Porzingis was never going to stay in New Orleans, so definitely makes sense not to do that. One other thing I forgot to mention, though, about the Anthony Davis stuff with him leaving in the middle of the game yesterday is Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted that New Orleans ownership was, quote, livid when injured Anthony Davis left the arena during Thursday's game. And also, I was watching SportsCenter earlier today, and they were showing the stats of Anthony Davis, what he was averaging before his trade demand versus what he's been averaging since. That was such irresponsible journalism on their part to broadcast that, because it was just his per-game splits. We watched a game, I think it was before our last podcast last week, Pelicans were playing, where Anthony Davis was having a monster game through three quarters. The Pelicans sat him for the whole fourth quarter. They've been doing that consistently for either the fourth quarter or the whole second half.
That's
ever since he
decision.
Came back.
It's a trolling decision.
But to put those stats up, he's averaging 12 less points per game since his trade demand, because he's playing half as many minutes.
Do the per 60 minutes.
Exactly.
Stat.
Or the per 36.
Whatever.
Per whatever minutes.
5 minutes. And to chime in on this, I think I said it on the pod before the trade deadline happened, that if Dell didn't move AD, he's basically saying that task is someone else's job to be done.
Yes.
I got a lot of backlash on it from people that I know, especially some of my coworkers. But I knew this was going to happen. I prophesized it. Let the circus come in. And then once it came in and nothing came of it, you have to deal with the ramifications. If Anthony Davis gets hurt, wow. He will have lost everything if they didn't put any kind of trade. Now that's the world that we live in.
I mean, it depends on how big of an injury it is. Obviously, there's very few injuries that would scare anyone, myself included, from wanting to give up just
Achilles.
About anything for him. But I was going to say Achilles, torn ACL to a lesser extent. I hope to God I don't want any player ever dealing with that sort of injury, so hopefully it doesn't happen. The narrative around Anthony Davis, people kind of say, oh, well, he's been injury prone. He should have shaken that narrative by now, because recently, I think in the last 3 or 4 years, he's played the 6th most regular season games of any player in the NBA. So he did have some injury concerns his first few years. It was more concussion related, stuff like that. I think he had something with his shoulder, but he's gotten to be a lot more durable in the last few years. And I think a lot of that has to do with when he first came into the league, he was extremely skinny. And since he's been able to be with an NBA training staff, NBA strength and conditioning coach, he's gotten a lot bigger. You no longer think of him as someone who can't hold his own down low in the post. And that's clearly helped him.
Chime in on who I think is going to be GM.
I was going to ask you guys.
David Griffin's the obvious choice for me.
Definitely.
I thought he was the obvious choice for the 76ers. They went with an in-house guy, Elton Brand, who was just a player, doesn't feel like very much long ago, as a player's guy.
He's done a good job, though.
Done a fantastic job.
Exec of the year.
Yeah.
I agree. I think he should be for what he did at the deadline. Shout out to the 76ers for knowing their guy regardless of what his resume said. But with David Griffin, that's a guy that I hear on ESPN now.
Yeah.
And I like his takes. I like how he carries himself. I see his resume with how it was with LeBron there.
Yeah,
you had the best player in the world, but he knows how it is to win. How do you not give that guy a chance again in the NBA?
I never understood
why
they didn't re-sign him right after they won the championship.
I just don't see how he can hurt to have a guy with that kind of resume to come into a franchise that hasn't had a lot of success, and clearly the people at the helm aren't producing playoff wins, aren't producing championships, to bring a guy that's just tasted that less than a decade ago. That's a guy that needs to come in and try it again, because who knows what he can do. Right now, I think we know what this New Orleans ownership and front office is going to do, and I do put some of the blame on the fact that we see report after report on the Benson family. The fact that the family has such a focus on the Saints, it sounds like they don't really care much about the Pelicans. It's blatant reports from some of the biggest names, Schefter, all these other guys you should see, where it's like, well, clearly they're not fazed because they like the Saints more. Like, how do you like something more?
The Saints GM is the president for the Pelicans.
What is wrong with you? You have ownership of two teams. You need to put in the same effort to both, and if you don't care about one of them, why don't you sell it for a shit ton of money? The Clippers sold for $2.1 billion not too long ago. Why not put your team up for sale, one of them that you don't care about? You keep the ownership that you like and sell it off to someone that's actually going to make business decisions. I'm not happy if I'm a New Orleans fan. I'm a Laker fan. I'm not happy either. As a guy that's just talking about the NBA, I think you deserve better. I think you deserve a guy that's willing to take risks. Maybe they might not work, but not just, oh my God, we got lucky and landed Chris Paul. We got lucky and landed Anthony Davis. And hopefully we can do something while they're here and while they're in their prime. Why don't you go make it happen with a guy that knows what he's doing? So I'm going to say David Griffin. Christian, do you think the guy that's now the interim that he said had a decent resume also was once the Cavs GM, LeBron's first stint, and then was with the Hawks as well? Do you think he sticks around after being interim, or do you think they're going to bring in another person like David Griffin?
I really don't know, because the franchise is in so much turmoil right now that I don't know if they can make a logical decision. And I think that Griffin, to all of us, looks like the most logical GM to put in place, but who knows what decision they're actually going to make. And to double back on the Benson ownership, for years, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Benson family made their money with like used car sales lots, and they've always kind of ran their franchises like that. They're franchises that spent less money on payroll and just took a higher profit when you think about outgoing money to the money that they're bringing in. They run the business from that sphere, not to win championships, but to have a good bottom line and to have a good take home. So to double back on making money with the Clippers being acquired for that amount of money, I think they could sell the Pelicans for a pretty penny. I know owning an NBA franchise is something that a lot of billionaires will hop on the train to do. And
right.
Gail should really do what she wants to do and focus on the Saints. But everyone seems clearly invested more in the Saints, and with how the market has gone for an NBA team, I think this is the time for them to sell to someone who is willing to put the money to bankroll a championship team. The city of New Orleans deserves it.
The Benson family actually bought the Pelicans, well, they were the Hornets, but not too long ago, back in 2012. That's part of why the Chris Paul trade was able to be vetoed, because at the time, the NBA had taken over ownership of the team. The team had gone into bankruptcy. David Stern was the acting owner of the team. He ended up selling the team to Tom Benson, who bought the team in 2012 for $338 million.
Nothing.
Even for the Pelicans, who are in probably one of the worst markets in the NBA, you're still going to get way more than that. So Gail Benson was actually quoted in 2016 saying she would never sell the Pelicans, but I don't know. I mean, it's very clear that they prioritize the Saints over the Pelicans, but we'll see. Let's move on to another topic. I mean, somewhat having to do with the Pelicans, the Lakers, who are connected, but the Lakers' explanation for trading Ivica Zubac.
Real quick, before we get into this, this is just a small debate that Corbin and I had previous to the podcast, because I know it's spelled Zubac. Christian, how do you say his name?
Zubac.
And I say Zubac because so, it's spelled Zubac. But Corbin says Zubats and thinks it's this. And I want to ask you guys, I hope someone knows or actually met him to this. I don't trust it because
spelled America.
Zubac. And so, guys, if anyone knows.
It's just like Divots, Vlade Divots.
Did you say Vlade Divots back in there? Vlade Divac.
I think I said Vlade Divac.
It's Vlade Divac. Saying,
okay,
guys.
Okay, well, you guys
give
need
me
to
a
learn.
Sound bit, guys. Anyone out there that has personal knowledge or any way to prove to me, I am fine with accepting
What we're saying is someone who has the opposite view of Corbin, just chime in so we can use you as ammo in our fucking debates.
What they want. They just want someone to try to prove me wrong. All right, having to deal with the Lakers trade of Ivica Zubac.
Oh, there's a T and an S you just put in there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, where are these letters coming from?
Ivana Zubac.
When he got drafted by the Lakers in summer league, they asked him, how do you say your name? And he said, Ivica Zubac. So,
find me the clip.
I'm going with what the actual human being said for how his name
is
pronounced.
I'm going to say what Christian said. Find me the clip.
So the Lakers traded Ivica Zubac and Michael Beasley to the LA Clippers for Mike Muscala. Straight up trade, no picks involved or anything.
Horrible.
Yeah, awful trade. Brad Turner of the LA Times went onto a podcast, and he's very connected with the Lakers management, their front office. He leaked one of their offers was to the Pelicans. So he went onto a podcast recently and tried to give an explanation, at least from what he had heard from the front office, for why they made that trade. He said, quote, "The Lakers kept thinking to themselves, we won't be able to afford Zubac this summer. That can't happen. And the biggest key out of it all is that they wanted Michael Beasley gone. He had to be moved on. Some of it was because of the interaction he had with Luke Walton after the Golden State game when he spoke about but guys being selfish and he was singled out. So based on that, the Lakers knew going forward if they're going to keep all of this salary cap space, then they wouldn't be able to afford Zoo. They loved Zubac, they wanted to keep him around, but they couldn't afford to keep him on the team this summer. Also, a small thing was JaVale McGee started feeling some type of way about not playing as much, about not starting. You have to weigh all of those things.
First off, I just want to say that Zubac, a player that was playing well, a guy that can stretch the floor, and a guy that even if you had no long-term plan for him, you can attach him in a trade and get a valuable real asset. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like a Blockbuster. And it drives me crazy. And the fact that Mike Muscala is the return, I get the mindset that you want a veteran guy. But I retweeted something on Twitter not too long ago about Ray Allen in the Celebrity Game, which we'll talk about in a little bit, who put up a decent stat line, of course, against celebrities and stuff. It said Ray Allen would help the Lakers right now more than Muscala. I half agree.
I wouldn't argue.
Muscala, throw him in the corner all day. Ray Allen, he could be 65, and I'd still throw him in the corner. That's a guy like Reggie Miller. Throw in a couple Air Force Ones right now. Get in the corner, and I'm going to trust your shot all day. I don't care if you've been in the booth for 10 years.
Yeah, but you mentioned how they could have attached Zubats to a trade. So really quickly before I get into that, their explanation about how they wanted, the biggest key out of all of it was that they wanted Michael Beasley gone.
Buy him out.
Do they not know that they can release a player?
Right.
That's all you had to do.
That is something I said last podcast, though. I did say that the reason why Beasley was attached had to be something to do
with the fact
that he went Rampage Jackson.
We were trying to explain it, but so that doesn't make any sense. Then the thing about JaVale McGee feeling some type of way about not starting.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry you're not good enough to start. Zubats is a better player right now. Deal with it. You were playing 10 minutes a game for the Warriors. You're still getting a lot of run with the Lakers, even if it isn't as a starter. He was playing really well to start the year, but he's tapered off. Zubats was clearly the best player. Doc Rivers said like a day or two after the trade, he's talking to reporters, and he said, yeah, when I heard that we could get Ivica Zubats for what we were giving up, I asked, I think it was Lawrence Frank, he's like, are you serious? Like, he thought he was joking. When he said no, he's like, do it now before they change their mind. Perry, to your point about being able to include Zubats in a trade, so...
Can we just call him Zoo while we
Zoo.
Do this?
Okay,
today?
Fine. We'll do Zoo. Name is driving me we'll crazy. Do, but it is Zubats.
We'll call it Zoo. Let's just stick with Zoo.
Okay, Zoo. Talking about Zoo, they figured that they wouldn't be able to keep him past this summer because they wanted to keep as much cap room as possible. They're not keeping Mike Muscala past this summer, I wouldn't believe so. They're not going to hold on to his cap hold. So Mike Muscala's cap hold, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I know he's getting paid, I think, around $4 or $5 million this year. So his cap hold's going to be around $7-8 million. They're not keeping that on the books if they didn't want to keep Zubats. Zoo's cap hold this summer was going to be $1.9 million. He was going to be a restricted free agent. So that $1.9 million, if they don't have anyone to fill in that spot, the cap hold that you have for any amount of players you have under 12 on your roster counts as like $812,000-ish against your cap. So really you're paying an additional $1.2 million in order to keep Zubats' rights, keep him as a restricted free agent, and then even if some other team offers him a ridiculous contract, you can match it, but since there's an NBA moratorium, you have 2 days, 48 hours to match it from, I believe it's July 5th. So they wouldn't have to match it until July 7th. That would have given them a week. They would know by that time what free agents, if any, were going to sign with them. And that $1.9 million cap hold, it only would have made a difference if they were going to sign a player that had 10 or more years of experience in the NBA, which would be Kevin Durant. At that point, they would need all the cap room possible in order to sign him. Anyone with 7 to 9 years or 6 or fewer, which are on lower tiers, so Durant's starting salary for next year would have been around $38 million per year. Anyone with 7 to 9, so Kawhi, Kyrie, Klay, those players, starting salary of around $32-33 million. That 1.9 million, though, it wouldn't have made a difference. You would have been able to keep Zubats. And then on top of that, because obviously the Lakers still want Anthony Davis, they need to be able to make the salaries match this summer. They will not be able to just trade all of their young players, even if it's Kuzma, Hart, Lonzo, Ingram, Mo Wagner, all of their young players. The salaries will not match up with Anthony Davis. What they could have done is held on to Zubats' cap hold and kept him a restricted free agent, given him a really generous offer and said, we're going to give you all this money, but you have to agree to a sign-and-trade so that we can trade you along with whatever young guys we needed to the Pelicans in exchange for Anthony Davis. This entire trade and explanation of it, it just didn't make any sense to me.
And I'll be honest with you, if Magic Johnson didn't get LeBron James to come to LA, his overall grade, in my opinion, would be like a D+ or
enough.
Odds said that the Lakers had a 6% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, basketballreference.com. So right now, Lakers are 28 and 29. This is the furthest into a season that LeBron James has ever been under 500. They're giving them a 6% chance. I still think they have above a 50% chance, even with them being, what is it, three games out of the playoffs right now. They still have above a 50% chance. I'd say like 75, 80. With LeBron James, and historically, LeBron James, for his whole career, he has seen an uptick in his production after the All-Star break when he really needs to start turning
it
on.
His carrying meter goes up a ton.
Even though he's already carrying.
Especially if I see them getting a new coach after the All-Star break, I can see LeBron really kicking things into a zero dark Bron, whatever he does in the
playoffs. Yeah, but that's another thing, though, is that there was a report that came out that Luke Walton is safe. We had a poll up for you guys if Luke Walton was going to make it through the All-Star break, because their last game losing to the Hawks in Atlanta, that was disgusting. And Luke Walton, I was not happy with his rotations. It looked like the team completely gave up on him. Having said that, though, I do think it's the right decision to hold off on firing him until after the year, just because I don't see if they go with Jason Kidd or Mark Jackson. Yes, maybe they're a slight improvement, but the little bit of improvement that they would be, I don't think outweighs the time it would take to be able to adjust to a whole new coaching staff coming in.
I disagree. Bring in someone new, and it might actually light a fire under this team and have a set of rotations or plays that actually make sense. So I totally disagree with you. Luke Walton doesn't make a big difference on his own. He is a game manager, if you want to put a label on him.
He's an excellent defensive coach. Even though lately, even defensively, they haven't been good.
Regardless, he's not a guy that can lead a team that LeBron is at. I'm over it. I think everyone else is over it. And he needs to go. That's just about it for him. I don't think he's going to make it to the end of the season.
I don't either. I am
even with the report, though?
I don't think he's going to make it to the end of the season.
And if he does, that'll be the end of that. If it's not now, probably. It's going to be then.
Well, I mean, unless they go on a run and win at least one playoff round, I think he's done after this year.
Regardless, even if they win one playoff round, he's done after this year. This is not a guy that's for the future of the team. And LeBron may not have all the say in the world, but trust me, you can tell when he's frustrated and when he's not. We're going to move on to a couple guys that were the heads of the buyout market, a couple places that benefited off veteran presence. I wanted to ask you guys who you thought was the top buyout signing so far. Wes Matthews to the Pacers, Wayne Ellington to the Pistons, Enes Kanter to the Blazers, Markieff Morris to the Thunder, Jeremy Lin to the Raptors. There may have been a few others that might have caught your guys' eye if you wanted to bring those up, but those were the main that I really thought at this point are going to make the biggest difference on these contending teams moving forward.
For me, it's going to be Morris. All of those guys are pretty solid players to be left like not on teams this late in the season, but the Thunder are the only team on this list that I really feel like are going to benefit from having a guy on the buyout market at this point in the season. They're red hot with Paul George, and Wes Brick has been playing not efficient, but he's still getting his triple-double.
Broken the record for most consecutive triple-doubles. He's up to 11 now. 11 in a row. It was 9 by
and Will. Paul George stuck his way into MVP consideration.
Yeah. Which is nice, but his shooting efficiency is god-awful. And his free throw shooting has disappeared, even though he was 86% earlier in his career as a free throw shooter, but I'm not going to get into that right now. For this, what you said, Perry, the best fit, it's the Thunder being the 3 seed right now and him being one of the better buyout candidates left on the market.
So are we saying who's the best player that was signed, or just who's the best fit?
Well, you said the best
signing. Who's going to do the most for the team that they're going to?
Two really stick out for me. So Jeremy Lin going to the Raptors, I think, was a really nice signing by them.
That's a nice signing.
And especially because their backup point guard, Fred VanVleet, is going to be out for, I think it's at least 3 weeks with a thumb injury.
And with that Marc Gasol trade, they traded some of their depth with DeLon Wright and Miles. So to get another guard back there who can add depth and high energy off the bench, I think this is a great match.
Yeah, and then I agree with you, Christian, the Markieff Morris signing with the Thunder. Markieff Morris is a good player, and there were a few teams, including the Lakers, who were interested in him. So for him to go to the Thunder, that was a really nice signing by the Thunder. He's just going to help their depth. And they're a team, like you said, Perry, Paul George has vaulted himself into MVP consideration. Westbrook, even though he doesn't have the shooting statistics that you would hope for, he's still obviously one of the most impactful players in the game. And their defense, I think they're the number 3 defense in the NBA. So they're as much of a threat to the Warriors as any team in the West, even though I don't think any team is an actual threat.
I agree with you. I'm going to say that it's a three-way tie for me between the two you guys just pulled up with Markieff Morris and Jeremy Lin, and then Enes Kanter to Portland. But the thing is, I don't know if Portland has enough on that roster to make a playoff run. So I don't know if Enes Kanter is going to be that difference maker. I think he's an amazing ad for them, considering I thought he was a shoo-in to go to Boston. To hear him signing with the Trailblazers, it shocked me a bit, but intrigued me. Maybe he might stay there. And his Kanter seems like a loyal dude. He just keeps getting shipped off in trades. I follow him on Twitter. He's a funny guy. He really falls in love with the culture wherever he's at. I think it's going to be the same there. But with Enes Kanter, that's not enough for the Blazers. With Markieff Morris, I think that's a move that could put them in consideration now for the top of the West besides the Warriors.
Did you see on Enes Kanter's Twitter after he signed with the Trailblazers, he had, I think it was his banner, he had Photoshop of him in a Blazers jersey.
It was really low quality.
But also, he was at one end of the court, and there were people playing on the other end, and he's just yelling at the fans on the other end, no interest in the actual game.
Super low quality Photoshop. And yeah. I thought double zero, I thought it was hilarious, but I'm gonna agree with you guys with Morris for the Thunder being that piece, that edge off the bench. I love his attitude, both the Morris twins, especially Markieff. I just love how gritty of a player he is. So I think this is gonna be that type of guy in the playoffs that could turn it up a notch. Do a little playoff Rondo. You know, that one guy that might have been just good for you in the regular season, but really was that dog for you in the playoffs. So I think that could be that perfect cherry on top. And Jeremy Lin's a really high IQ player that is going to help the Raptors. We are part of the Pulse Podcast Network, and we just have a quick message from them.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is 8-Bit Ray from the Gorilla Brain Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Did you know that you could be using this spot to advertise your company or business? Well, I've done the research, and PodcastInsights.com report that podcast listeners are loyal, affluent, and mostly college educated. But most importantly, are 5 times more likely to interact with the ad they hear on their favorite podcast than an ad from any other medium. If you would like to advertise your company or brand with our network, it's simple. All you have to do is send an email to marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com. I'll say it one more time, marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com, and we hope to hear from you soon.
So if you want to promo you guys at all, reach out to us, reach out to the Pulse Podcast Network. We'd love to get your business on air to list for our listeners. Wanted to transition to the celebrity game for All-Star Weekend in Charlotte. It was a nail-biter here, 82-80. I know a lot of people don't necessarily care about it, but I think it's just a fun tidbit that all major sports really do. Team home defeats team away, so at least who would be considered team home for Charlotte won. I think that's cool. Famous Los 32 on Twitter, Famous Los, he put up 22 points. Pretty sure he won the MVP, and 18 points, 5 assists, and 4 steals from Jay Williams. Ray Allen was in this game, like I said earlier in the podcast, put up a pretty decent stat line. I honestly think he could help the Lakers more than Carmelo Anthony right now. That's up for debate. I think it's a funny debate to have. It's even a debate. Right, exactly.
But it's not that far off.
Yeah.
Famulos, actually, he played Division I basketball. I don't know if any of you guys follow him on Twitter. He does the, like, imitations of, like, James Harden be like. He's fun. But he's actually a really good hooper. Like, I follow him on Twitter. I wouldn't want to catch him at, like, 24 Hour Fitness.
So he's over there with Le'Veon Bell playing at 24 right now.
We should honestly make a first team all 24 Hour Fitness, for LA Fitness first team.
First team all empty gym, Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, he's the number one pick.
With the hoodie
mellow, yeah.
Undefeated, never lost in the gym.
So we're going to move on to the next aspect of this weekend. It's going to be the Rising Stars game, World versus USA. I'm going to have Corbin read the rosters for each team, and it just ended within the last hour. It was Team USA defeating Team World 161-144. USA really taking it to Team World, who I honestly thought was going to win this game. We're going to have a quick discussion about both rosters, just listing who is on each and who we would want to build our team around. If there's any thoughts that we have of players that really stand out.
Just going to say it, Luka. Okay. I don't care what team he's.
The World team had OG Anunoby from the Toronto Raptors, DeAndre Ayton from the Phoenix Suns, Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Sacramento Kings, I know Perry are a big fan of him.
Bogdanovic, the dog.
Luka Doncic from the Dallas Mavericks, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the LA Clippers, Rodions Karosic from the Brooklyn Nets, Lauri Markkanen from the Chicago Bulls, Josh Okogie from the Minnesota Timberwolves, Chetty Osman from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Ben Simmons from the Philadelphia 76ers. And then on the USA team, Jared Allen from the Brooklyn Nets, Marvin Bagley III from the Sacramento Kings, Lonzo Ball from the Lakers, who was injured and replaced by Kevin Knox from the New York Knicks, John Collins from the Atlanta Hawks, De'Aaron Fox from the Sacramento Kings, Jaren Jackson from the Memphis Grizzlies, Kyle Kuzma from the LA Lakers, Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz, Jason Tatum from the Boston Celtics, and Trae Young from the Atlanta Hawks. So a lot of talent between those two teams.
The players that you just named really had a great game tonight. The MVP of the game being Kyle Kuzma with 35 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. Trae Young behind him with 25 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, almost a triple-double. Jason Tatum, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. Donovan Mitchell, 20 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, and Ben Simmons, who I swear at this point has been in the NBA for 10 years, still in the Rising Stars game, which I think is hilarious, 28 points, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds.
Yeah, I have a question about that. Does Ben Simmons just, like, if he doesn't make the All-Star game, he just gets to keep playing in the sandbox
until he finally makes it to the...
I think until he makes a 3, they're just trolling him. Like, look, man, it's in your contract. You have to play in all of these rookie games.
And by the way, for all you guys that are listening to the podcast, I really care about this game, and I want to watch it without knowing what the final score was. So while Perry was reading that, I literally...
sitting over there with his ears muffed like a weirdo.
It's going to sound so weird because Corbin just vault back and la 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 la, even though Team Egypt won the whole thing.
Okay, thank you, Christian.
You're welcome.
But I wanted to get into a little bit just about the rosters between the two teams. So obviously a lot of talent. These are the best first and second year players, with the exception of Ben Simmons, who...
it's like a 5-year...
yeah, I mean, technically
third. I'm surprised Joel Embiid didn't try to play too, like, ha ha, let me play.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him, but... I wanted to ask you guys, so out of these players, if you were starting a team, trying to build a team around any of these players, who would you build around? It's really a two-player race at the top between Ben Simmons and Luka Doncic. I can make the case for either, and it's really close. I'd actually go with Ben Simmons, even though Doncic is 2 years younger. I just think, as incredible as Luka Doncic is, especially offensively, the amount of impact that Ben Simmons brings to the defensive end of the court as a 6'10" point guard who's extremely quick, both laterally and just overall very agile. I would just barely want that. I know Luka Doncic obviously has him on the scoring side of things.
And he can shoot the ball.
But Ben Simmons, I mean, he can still score. He's averaging, 16, 17 points a game. He posts up. He can finish inside, which obviously Luka can as well. Passing-wise, I'd give the edge to Simmons, even though Luka is a very good passer. It's really close. I'd just go with Ben Simmons, though. I'm assuming you guys don't agree.
I'm going with Christian. I'm going to go Luka, and I agree that it is close. Ben Simmons, shoot a 3, you coward. Make a 3, for God's sake. You're a professional athlete with a shooting staff, with a coaching staff that's there to help train you. The fact that you're content with being a top 25 player in this league instead of making yourself a top 10, possibly top 5 player by adding a 3-point shot is ridiculous, that it's taken you 10 years now into your NBA career where you're still playing in the Rising Stars game. Get in the gym with your 3-point coach and start draining some fucking threes. That's my rant.
Just add some fucking depth to your game. I feel like that'll allow him to stretch his game out a little bit more if he makes the 3-pointer. But yeah, it's going to be Luka. He can rain it from way downtown. He's hitting step backs on James Harden.
He's pulling out moves that I haven't even seen.
No, he is incredible.
To your counter, the only reason I'm going to put him over Ben Simmons is he's 2 years
younger. Yeah. I know, that's fair.
And after Ben Simmons, I'm going to go Jason Tatum for myself, who I would build around. That would be my guy. And then
you take him over Mitchell.
Bogdanovic? Yeah, it's a close one, though.
I have Austin.
You'd take him over Mitchell, though, or DeAndre Ayton?
Yes.
I honestly would have Mitchell and Kyle Kuzma over Jason Tatum.
Kyle Kuzma, I got to look through the whole roster, but he might not even be top 10 for me. When you factor in his age, he's already 23 years old. I think I would put Jason Tatum at number 3. Donovan Mitchell's up there as well, with De'Aaron Fox and Jaren Jackson as well. I want to ask you guys, though, so between De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Donovan Mitchell, how would you rank those 4 in terms of who would you build around?
De'Aaron Fox first for me.
Fox above Mitchell.
Fox, and then Mitchell, and then Jaren Jackson Jr., then Marvin Bagley.
I like Mitchell and Fox switched, I think.
If they were the same age, I'd go with Mitchell for sure. It's just because Mitchell did spend one extra year in college, so right. Another year older than Fox. I think I would still give it to Donovan Mitchell, though. So I'd probably go Mitchell, Fox. To me, it's Mitchell and Fox are in one tier, and then Jared Jackson Jr. and Marvin Bagley are in another tier, and it's really close between the two of them. I'd go Mitchell, Fox, Jared Jackson Jr., and Marvin Bagley, yeah. But it's pretty close.
I agree with you, and we should move on to the next bit of All-Star Weekend, which is the three-point contest and slam dunk contest, which we briefly touched on last episode, me and Corbin. We have Christian with us, so we're going to all do a quick prediction for who we think is going to win the slam dunk contest, who we think is going to win the three-point contest, and then we're going to list the rosters for Team LeBron and Team Giannis to talk about who we think is going to bring up the W on the All-Star game. So I'm going to start with the slam dunk contest participants, Dennis Smith Jr., John Collins, Miles Bridges, and Hamidou Diallo. I know me and Corbin were actually impressed with this lineup. I know it's not a very well-known lineup. People were upset. It's
going to be
a
really good...
People are going to jump out the freaking gym.
Serious athleticism. And I know I've been adamant that I think it's going to be John Collins putting up the dub. Yeah. I know last week you said Dennis Smith Jr. Corbin, are you going to lock that in?
Really quickly before I get to that, the surprising thing for me was that John Collins was actually the favorite, betting odds favorite. Usually,
I told you.
Yeah, well, usually big men do not win the award. It's just as good of a dunk
the guy's
as
a big
man
can.
Yeah, but as good of a dunk as a big man does, if a guard does that same dunk, it looks better because they're smaller.
I don't know. He's a freak, but I'm going John Collins for sure.
Yeah, I'm
going
to go with Dennis Smith Jr., and then I would go Miles Bridges. But I am so excited. Hamidou Diallo, not many people know of him because he was, a late first-round pick, not getting tons of playing time with the Thunder, but he is as athletic as you can get. And to all of these participants and everyone else in the NBA, just enjoy this one contest, because when Zion comes in next year, the next 10 years is just Zion winning it.
Unless he pulls LeBron.
Unless he doesn't want to,
he pulls LeBron and says
never does it. I'm going to go with John Collins just
because.
There
we
go.
Wow. Just Team Collins, baby.
When I was watching ESPN, supposedly him and Trae Young are working on a, combo type thing, so obviously you're not going to get style points from Trae Young being there, but the smile on his face when he was talking about it makes me feel like they're up to something.
I'm so excited for this.
I love that's my favorite
so
part.
I don't know, it just seemed like they're up to something and it's going to be something different, so I don't know. There's a lot of athleticism. They're going to hit their head on the ceiling just trying to dunk this thing.
They seriously might.
There was so much.
Miles Bridges.
There was on Twitter. I know there's a lot of 10-year-old trolls that happen to pop up on our feeds, but there was so much hate going towards these guys for the dunk contest. I think everyone needs to pump the brakes. And I'm not going to say this is going to be one of the best ones we've ever had, but I think this will be the most pleasantly surprised we've been watching the dunk contest.
Yeah, I mean, there's been dunk contests before where you've definitely had a lot more name recognition. And some of them have lived up to the hype. There's been some very good ones, I remember.
Nate Robinson, my man.
There were some really good contests between him and Dwight Howard. I remember one year when Paul George and John Wall were both in it. That's some name recognition. That was a good contest. And then obviously, I think the best contest, Vince Carter might have had the best individual slam dunk performance out of anyone, but the best contest overall was the year when Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon were just going back and forth. They went into triple overtime or something.
Yeah,
that was insane. And this one, I seriously think, could live up to at least close to that contest.
Yeah, one of the most athletically gifted group of guys that seen in the dunk contest in a while. And we're going to move on to our three-point contest prediction. I said it's going to be between Kemba and Devin Booker. I got to lock one in, so give me Kemba Walker. That's going to be my prediction. He's going to take it home in Charlotte and then say peace when the offseason hits.
So really quickly, the contestants. So Devin Booker, Seth Curry, Steph Curry, Danny Green, Joe Harris, Buddy Hield, Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, Dirk Nowitzki, and Kemba Walker. I'm going with Curry. So I get two. Seth or Steph.
I'm going with Curry, specifically Seth. He's going to break out the old Del Curry jersey. They're both going to pop out Pops' jersey. Seth is going to outshine his brother. And a quote was, I think someone asked, a reporter asked him, oh, are you going to channel your inner Steph when you go out there? And he goes, no, I'm going to channel my inner me, Seth Curry. So I think...
He's such a good shooter in his own
he
right.
Is, yeah, he is. And I want to see the dog win it. I want to also put $10 on it and win the odds. And make money. But
you know what? I'm going to go... Wow. This is a really good field, too. As good
live
as the dunk
bet.
Contest is.
Corbin, $10 are you going to bet with Christian right
Let's
now?
Let's do it right now.
You put Steph, you put Seth.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with Steph, but I could see, Buddy Hield, too. He's a really good shooter.
There was this performance from Joe Harris the other day, or like a week ago. He was like 6 for 8 from three. He's lighting up now, getting up to this contest. I wouldn't be surprised to see a random name like that pull it out of here. But I like seeing a guy like Damian Lillard on there.
It's Dame time.
The Dame time.
Dame Dalla.
Yep. He's about to light this up. We're going to list the all-star teams and who we think is going to win. Team LeBron, Kyrie, Harden, LeBron, Durant, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, Lillard, Westbrook, Aldridge, Karl Anthony Towns, Bradley Beal, and Dwayne Wade.
Team Tamper. And Wade.
Team free agent and, and team recruitment.
And with Wade as that nice
team. Nice story. I like you.
Team Giannis, Curry, Kemba, Paul George, Giannis, Embiid, Middleton, Jokic, Simmons, Blake, D'Angelo Russell, Vucevic, Kyle Lowry, and Dirk Nowitzki. So team foreigner.
Team hard
for the most part.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Get a nice one, and then you're gonna have a guy like
win though. That'd be so infuriating.
And then Paul George and D'Lo sitting there dapping each other up while Jokic and Embiid do some weird dance on the sideline.
All passing.
Exactly. Who do you guys take on this? I'm going Team LeBron.
Yeah, I mean they should win. They're clearly the more talented team. Giannis went with Chris Middleton with the first pick of the reserves because it's his teammate, and then LeBron got Anthony Davis. Yeah,
nice.
Giannis's strategy in this is so flawed.
Like, keep my friends tight and my enemies.
I mean, it obviously gave good ratings, gave stuff to talk about when he's like, okay, well, you got Durant with the first pick. I'm going to go with Embiid. So you know what? You get Harden with your last pick of the starters.
Do you guys think the Warriors would beat the East team? Honestly, though. Team Giannis versus the Warriors. 7-game series.
I'm still going Team Giannis.
Well, do both teams still have Steph Curry? Is it like Curry versus Curry? Or
it's like one of those things where it's another version of Curry.
It cancels out slightly.
He got a pretty good shot.
That's so sad. We're going to do a post All-Star break prediction real quick with who we think might take the East and who we think might take the West. And if there's maybe one or two teams might be on the outskirts that you think might make a post All-Star break run, or vice versa, a team that's currently poised to make the playoffs who's probably going to fall out at some point.
I think the Brooklyn Nets, they're 2 games up on the 7-seeded Charlotte Hornets.
The fact that the Wizards still have a shot to make the playoffs with everything that's happened to them shows how bad the back end of the East is.
Yeah, but I think Brooklyn...
Dwight Howard joke insert there.
Brooklyn has, though, kind of separated themselves. I feel pretty confident saying they're going to be in the playoffs. They've been playing better lately. D'Angelo Russell has been
on fire.
He could help the Lakers quite a bit right now.
We don't have Timothy Mozgov's contract.
And he wouldn't be playing like this if he was still in
the way. He wouldn't.
You need to get tagged with Timothy Mozgov to be humble to play that way.
Did you guys see the article on Bleacher Report? It was a sit-down with D'Angelo Russell, and he was saying, the trade to Brooklyn honestly was the best thing for me because if I was still with the Lakers, I'd be having to go through all of the trade rumors right now. And he even said what you brought up about how it's kind of an honor to be traded with Mozgov because in his mind, he was the most intriguing of the Lakers' young prospects. So that's why they were able to trade him off with Mozgov. Mm-hmm. I think it's because he was the least attractive for the Lakers going forward because they could have made the same trade with Ingram as well, or if they wanted to trade the number 2 pick. But he's telling himself that, look, right now he's having an incredible season. He looks like he's going to end up having a really good career. And when he was on the Lakers for 2 years, he showed flashes of what he could be, but it looked like he might be a disappointment, and now he's clearly not.
So I'm going to ask you guys who you think is going to win the East. I'm going to start with me with the Bucks. I think they're going to hang on to it. I know there's been the 76ers floating around, Celtics. And not going to give it to the Pacers now that Oladipo's out. I don't think they're going to hang on to being a top 3 team, but I still think they'll make it.
Isn't it incredible they're still the 3 seed, even with Oladipo going out? They've still held on to it.
And the Raptors, the last team out of that group. So I'm going to stick with the Bucks. I think this team's a well-oiled machine, and the fact that they added Nikolai Mirotic, a perfect piece. I can't talk about it enough. I think the Bucks are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the East.
I'm going to go with the Raptors. I think the addition of Marc Gasol, and I think that they've been kind of playing a little down recently. I think they're going to pick it up towards playoff time, and Kawhi's really going to solidify himself as the best player in the East.
Best player? You, better than Giannis?
Yes.
Wow.
I love Giannis. He's my fellow Greek, but I'm just more impressed with how Kawhi Leonard plays.
I mean, they're both just incredible, but I'm so excited for the playoffs, not just on the Western side of things, but the East, too.
Oh, I agree. The East just really came back from being...
Yeah.
Before the season started, it was, well, you know what? We got the West, but the East, like, who really cares too much? Mm. But they had 5 really good teams before Oladipo went down, but still, that second round in the East is going to be so much fun to watch, and even the first. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing all of them. I'm going with the Philadelphia 76ers. I think outside of the Warriors, they have the best starting lineup in the NBA, and I really don't even think it's that close. Yes, the Bucks got better, but still, just looking at them, I love what Mike Budenholzer has been able to do, taking over as the first-year coach for them. But you just look at the difference in terms of talent for both of those rosters. And Giannis is the best player that either team has, but the 76ers starting lineup, any one of their starters could go for 20 points on any given night. You got four players who can create for themselves completely, even though Ben Simmons can't really shoot from the outside. He can still attack the paint and get his. And then you have JJ Redick, who can somewhat create for himself, but it's more running him off of screens and stuff. And he is lethal. One of the best shooters in the NBA still at 34 years old. That 4-point
shot he had last week? Jesus.
Yeah. I think it's the Bucks-Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I do think the Bucks got better, like you said, Perry, with Mirotic. But Sixers adding Tobias Harris. Oh, my God.
You mean
God.
J. Cole.
That's hilarious.
Jermaine.
And the Western Conference side, we have the Warriors up top at 41-16. And right now the Clippers at the 8th seed, 10 games back, but they aren't going to make the playoffs, so they can hang on to that pick.
Yeah.
So they'll hang around there for a sec and then drop right out to conveniently be the 9 or 10 seed and have a team like the Kings, who are right now one game behind the Clippers at 30-27, or the Lakers, who are currently three games behind the Clippers at 28-29. Even a team like the Timberwolves, Mavericks, or Pelicans. I don't think it's going to happen. But I think realistically...
Still, 12-team race.
Realistically, we can say the Lakers or the Kings are in the best spot right now.
So like you said, the Clippers owe their pick, their first rounder, to the Celtics unless they fall into the lottery, which we thought once they traded Tobias Harris they were going to do. But, I mean, they beat the Celtics right after they made that trade. They had another win. I think it was against the Suns, but they're not completely out of it.
They lost to the Timberwolves.
I'd be surprised if they made it. I wouldn't be shocked. The Lakers, I know we mentioned earlier, Basketball Reference giving them a 6% chance of making the playoffs. I think that is just ridiculous. Foolish. Yeah. You look at the players on the Clippers roster, the players on the Kings roster, and the Lakers roster, and even you want to bring the Timberwolves and Mavericks into it. I am not betting against LeBron James that he's not going to be able to beat out each of those teams to make the playoff spot. Difference in games between the 4 seed and the 8 seed in the West is 3 games.
It's nothing.
I'm not saying the Lakers are going to go up to the 4 seed, but I'm just saying it's so crazy
just
and
like
so excited. Yeah, just like last year, to see we could go down to the final day of the regular season again, where so much happens. Last year, the Timberwolves and Nuggets, thank you NBA for scheduling them to play on the last game of the year, because that was literally a play-in game. The winner made it as the 8 seed and the loser lost. Timberwolves won in overtime. So exciting to warm everyone up to the playoffs.
Right.
And then on top of that, I think the Pelicans started the day as like the 6 seed. They ended as the 3 seed. Crazy. Maybe we don't get that much excitement, but still, to be this close, everyone's going to be battling right down to the end. And I think that 8 seed, yes, it's important to get into the playoffs, but everyone is going to be battling to get that 7 seed or higher, because you don't want to
play the Warriors.
If you get, whether it's the Lakers or any other team gets the 7 seed, it's so close between the rest of the conference. As a 7 seed, you could end up in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors. But you drop to that 8 seed,
done.
You're going home early.
Well, obviously, we all agree, the Warriors.
Yeah.
And I think we could take it even further to say they have the championship.
Yes.
Locked
you
in.
You just blanket statement that until someone leaves.
We got an MVP debate. James Harden, Paul George, and Giannis. Paul George is a name that is super hot right now. I actually put up a poll on Twitter, got a lot of love from you guys, asking who was the front runner between the three, and Paul George actually won that poll. So you guys think it's Paul George, so that's your answer from what I saw on my Twitter. I'm going to go Giannis still. I'm going to hang on to that one with how he's playing. It's out of his mind, and I'm going to stick on to that after they lock this one seed in for the East. That's going to be highly taken into consideration with what he's done with this team. And he's just going to get better and better, I think, with Mirotic there. It's going to add even more floor spacing for them, even though they didn't even need it. Giannis is going to just add it on, and he's going to get that eye of the tiger now that they're actually in a position to win. He loved playing for Coach Kidd, but I think this is just another level.
You can make a really strong case for any one of the three of them. Giannis has had an incredible year. What Paul George has been doing lately, you can make the case that he should be MVP and Defensive Player of the Year.
It's crazy.
I don't remember another player. You might have to go back. I think Jordan won MVP and Defensive Player of the Year back in like 89. LeBron James, there were years in his prime where he was a really good perimeter defender. He maybe could have won it, but Paul George, what he's able to do carrying this much of an offensive load and still being able to exert as much energy as he does defensively, it's very, very impressive. But even with that being said, I'm giving it to James Harden. I know the Rockets actually have the worst record out of the three teams for players that are really being considered for this award. But James Harden, without him going on the stretch that he had and is still on, even though it's not quite as ridiculous as it was, the Rockets would be one of the bottom teams in the West. He literally had just about no one around him. Chris Paul goes down. Clint Capella goes down. He's scoring, I don't know how many points he had in a row without one of them being assisted by another player.
Hundreds.
Yeah, I think it was around like 200-something.
I think it was more.
It might have been more. It's like a 5-6 game stretch where all of his points he manufactured completely on his own. No help. I mean, I'm sure he got some screens and stuff, but no teammates set him up.
Thanks
with
for
nice
standing
passer.
In the way. Yeah. You haven't done shit for me. Watch me drain from 65 feet out. What the fuck? That dude is unreal.
And I know Paul George and Giannis both have better field goal percentage numbers than James Harden, but part of that is because
he had to put the team on his back.
And the defense could completely scheme for him, whereas Giannis, somewhat, they still can scheme just for him, but Paul George does have Russell Westbrook.
But he won the MVP last year, so that for me is, I know, I hate to say, voter bias. They're not going to want to give it to a guy twice. They're going to give it to a guy like Paul George or Giannis.
People love the whole story thing. Like, he just signed the contract to come back. He's picking it up for Westbrook.
Yeah, but I
think... So, are you taking Paul George?
I think it's Paul George's.
So, we're a three-way split here. This is one of the first times I remember this in a long time, where we are completely three. And I don't disagree with either of you, to be honest. Because
yeah, no, a case could be made. I'm not going to say either of you are wrong.
Yeah, the three right now are neck and neck. That's why with the Twitter poll,
I
was
say you're wrong, like with Zubats.
I was sending it to Corbin, surprised at the results, and we both were just shocked how close it was between the three, and Paul George eventually winning. So our listeners do agree with Christian on this one.
Yeah, the Army.
Team Christian. We're going to talk about the two honorary All-Stars.
Which is the best thing that they've done, this the new edition.
Adam Silver, just every single year, as good as he has been, he just keeps becoming even better. There's reports that the NFL is trying to get him to be their commissioner. There's no way he's going to the NFL.
So before we talk about this debate about this, you just brought up Adam Silver. What I tweeted out today on the page was actually them at a technology seminar, and he had a smartphone, and it was a jersey that you can change the number and the name on the back digitally so that it's almost like interchangeable. I don't know how they plan to implement this, but...
Yeah, I don't think with the player it means anything, changing it to another player.
No, it's for the fan.
I can just see free throw goes in, then a little ad pops up on all the jerseys for like Mitsubishi or something, and then boom, goes back to the number.
No, but what Corbin said, I think it is more for fans who want to get a Kuzma, Lonzo, Ingram jersey, I guess. You know, you can have all of them and switch them out.
And then I wonder how it works, because obviously the NBA, you could make a case that they would be losing some revenue if they only sold one jersey that changes, but maybe not, because maybe
$1,500 for one.
Yeah, that's what
jersey.
I was going to say. I was wondering how much it's going to be, and then also maybe you pay for, maybe the starting jersey is $60-$70, whatever, and then for every additional player you want to add to it, maybe it's another $20-$30, because I don't think there are many people who, if they're going to go buy a jersey, okay, I'm buying one jersey. It's not like, oh, well, now I can change this into five different players, so you know what, I was going to go buy five different jerseys, but now that I have this, now I'm not. I think it's more, oh, cool, you know what, I'll splurge and pay the extra $20-$30 so I can change from Kuzma to Lonzo versus only
depending on who's bricking that game.
Yeah. I just, with all the classic jerseys and how jerseys really are like a collectible, I just don't really see that factoring into the whole collectability of the jerseys.
I just think it's cool that they can.
Oh, it is cool, but I just see it more being like the ad function of it than necessarily the retail jersey part of it.
Yeah, I mean, the only video we saw, it wasn't even like the jersey was on someone, so we're still...
It could just be a concept.
Yeah,
it is. But it's cool to see that that's what they're thinking about.
I love the NBA. I love modern technology. I love how they can even think about these things now. But going back to the subject that took us on that side rant, the D-Wade versus Dirk debate. The two guys that are honorary all-stars, like you said, Christian, awesome move from the NBA, and with LeBron taking D-Wade, it's a perfect fit. With Dirk on Team Foreigner, another perfect fit. So it seems right, and I like it, but we're going to have a debate here with who had the better career, also who is the more skilled player. I guess you can go at it either way. I'm going to start with you, Christian, with who, just off you living through the two players, who left more of an impact on you and who you think was more of a skilled player?
So I think the better player and the more accolades is going to be Dwayne Wade. The run with LeBron, the hardware goes to Dwayne Wade, but when you talk about skilled, when I think of skill, like as a basketball player, there's skill and athleticism.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade was much more of the athlete, much more of the go up and dunk it, where Dirk really did master skills. Corbin took one of them, you know, let me Dirk you off, step back, you know, put your leg up.
Let me Dirk you off.
You've, I don't think, I've, yeah.
You've never I that say that to people when I'm talking shit.
Yeah, it's like I'm Corbin's one like
Dirk you off. Give me a bottle of Hampson, and I'm a
Dirk. Let me Dirk you off. That's but so no, funny. There's like, you know, there's the Dirk move, but that goes down to technique. Not that Dwayne Wade didn't practice or doesn't have technique, but...
Yeah. It was just so much more important for Dirk to be successful by that.
When you think of Dirk, he really is a technician. That is what his game is. He's a technician. He's a mental guy. Yes, he's a tall, tall man. But really what his game is built on is being a technician. So that's my answer to your question.
I agree. I think it's clearly Dwayne Wade for both, whether you want to go who's had the more impressive career with accolades or just who was the better player. Dwayne Wade was a two-way player. He was, in his prime at least, great offensively, great defensively. Dirk Nowitzki, while you could probably argue that skill-wise, yeah, he was more skilled than Wade offensively. He could do more than Wade. It's just because Wade was so athletic, he was probably actually better offensively. But defensively, it's not even close. I remember, I think it was a year or two ago, which I know isn't in Dirk Nowitzki's prime, but there was a game when the Cavaliers were playing the Dallas Mavericks, and towards the end of the game, Dirk Nowitzki had to switch on to LeBron James. And it was a close game. The possession mattered. Dirk Nowitzki, he looked around for a split second, realized, oh shit, I'm on LeBron James. And then he ran out, tried to foul LeBron, and LeBron dribbled around him, went right to the rack, and dunked it. Obviously, Dirk was a better defender in his prime and could move a little bit better than he could these past few years. But
Dirk's a dinosaur.
Yeah, defensively, that was never his forte. He was offensively very skilled in the post. His patented fadeaway off of 1 foot, which I stole from him. Thank you, Dirk. But even in the warm-ups before games, he would go out there to warm up, and he would spin on one leg, spin around 360 on the floor. Obviously, he's not doing it in air. He could jump like 3 inches. And then he would just start shooting, and he'd do it from different positions. And he learned that from a shooting coach I believe he got while he was still in Germany that taught him these unconventional ways to get shots off because he didn't have the athleticism to be able to do that some other way. And to his credit, he just completely mastered it, and he was able to create a Hall of Fame career out of it.
He had the height part that you can't teach, but yeah, he's unathletic. He's an unathletic white guy, and he mastered techniques that made a Hall of Fame career. That's so crazy, and that's really what sports is about, is having that tenacity. Dwayne Wade is a, like, you look at him and you see him, well, like, that is a God's gift to human in terms of, like, athleticism. Dirk, that's me in the gym, moving. Old man, seeing me do 10 fucking pound little weights, just trying not to get diabetes and die. That's Dirk, but just with a much better shot. I am Dirk, but I'm chubby.
I like Dwayne Wade, but I think you guys both just said it best. The skill there. That's why I asked the question in two different ways, because I definitely think Dirk has found a way to make more with less.
Yeah.
I think we can say. But that's all we have for you guys today on episode 45 of NBA Unwrapped. Before we sign off, I want to remind you guys to listen to our podcast on podcast.com, the Apple Podcast app, or the Pulse Podcast Network. You can find them at pulsepodcastnetwork.com, or you can download the app Pulse Podcast Network, with about 52 podcasts on there right now, ranging from all different types. So it's a great thing to go find a bunch of different funny, awesome, informative podcasts all in one place. And to our new network-wide sponsor, TixBlitz.com. That's TixBlitz.com. And use promo code PULSE, all caps, for 5% off any ticket purchase. They're going to be with us now, so make sure to go check them out and get whatever tickets you need from them. Remember to follow us on Twitter at NBA Unwrapped. You can follow me on Twitter at Perry Aston. You can also follow Corbin on Twitter at Corbin Unwrapped, and Christian on Twitter at McGowan75.
Yeah, and then if you guys haven't, go ahead and check out our website, unwrappedsports.com. We have How many writers are we up to now, Perry?
16.
Yeah, so we got 16. That's not including us, not including Mike. We're growing. It's really exciting. You guys are writers that have been writing for us. You guys have been doing an incredible job. We have a group chat that we've been...
Yeah.
People have been bringing up, oh, well, you know what? I want to write about this. I'm thinking of doing a piece on this. What do you guys think? I love that.
Everyone's supporting each other. I know we got a 17th and 18th in the mix, too. I don't want to unravel that yet, unwrap it yet, but I am talking to a couple other guys interested in contributing with us. If you are interested, make sure to hit us up on any of the Twitter handles that we just named. We are about to have a newsletter go out, our first one featuring a few different key articles from us from the last week or two that are going to be sent to anybody that signed up for our email e-newsletter that is the orange box on our website. And if not, we're going to be posting the URL on our social medias and on all types of platforms so that you guys can access it, even if you're not signed up for the newsletter, and check out what we're doing here on the network. Great stuff. We have an amazing team, like Corbin just said, and I couldn't be happier with where we're at right now with all of our partners, Tix Blitz, Pulse Podcast Network, everybody at Yamble, which we've talked about on a couple podcasts ago, a bunch of different people. Mike, like you said, the lead writer with Mike Drop Sports, so many different brands and companies that we're partnering up with, and it's just becoming something great. So make sure to go check out our website, like Corbin said, at unwrapsports.com.
Yeah, and check out first round mock draft for NFL, and I'll have a first mock draft for NBA coming soon.
Awesome. Make sure to go check out everything on our website and follow that on Twitter at unwrapsports. Thank you guys so much, and we'll catch you guys next time.